You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
Good morning, Hillsiders. I hope you're doing well. Joni and I are loving our sabbatical so far. We're really enjoying our time, soaking in some sun, preparing for some voyages to who knows where. Well, we do, but... I wanted to take a second to introduce our guest speaker today, and we are very fortunate at Hillside to have one of my bosses. He's one of three associate supervisors for the Foursquare Western District churches, and his name is Pastor Tim Russell. Tim is a pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Hayward, California. He's an entrepreneur. He's a motivational speaker. He's a man with a sense of humor that just is hilarious, and his laugh is contagious. More than that, I appreciate Tim for his passion to see people know Jesus and to grow in Jesus. He so desires that people would be discipled and to disciple others. And he's really put his money where his mouth is for 30 years in ministry. And again, very thankful to have this kind of man, this kind of person to be able to look up to and who I can follow. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. He's married to Vanessa, a phenomenal couple. They have seven children. Yes, seven children. Five are fully grown. Two are still teenagers. You can pray for him for that. But Tim, I want to say thank you so much for helping Joni and I be able to be gone and to be resting and to take this break and this rhythm. So appreciate you and your time and your willingness to be with Hillside and to pour into us today. So Hillsiders, would you please welcome with me today, Pastor Tim Russell.
So good to be here. I know when you heard seven, you were like, what? Yeah, I was blessed to not only raise our biological children, but be a blessing, amen, to raise our biological nephew who knew us as mom and dad. So we're just good. Praise God for that. Let's just bow our heads for just a moment. Father, thank you for your word that is truth, your word that is a lamp unto our feet, and a light into our pathway. Shows us where we're at and shows us where we're going. We appreciate you. We adore you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you can't get your Bibles or your holy Androids, your holy iPhones and lift them up, just lift them up real quick. I want you to lift up whatever you use to, amen, read God's word, study God's word. Let's keep them up for a second. And this is how we fight our battles. Right here, this is how we fight our battles. All right, say this with me. Say, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. All right, I think you got it now. Let's do it one more time. Say, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. I was just so honored to get a call from or an email from Pastor Louis asking me to come and share the word here. I love going all over preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel, which is the good news of Jesus. I love preaching the good news of Jesus. Because how many know this? Jesus can save anybody. Come on, Jesus can save anybody. Look, you're looking at somebody that God picked up, turned around, and placed on solid ground. And even when I tried to fall back, he says, come on, amen, come on. He picked me up again, turned me around, and placed my feet on solid ground. And I don't know how many times he's had to do that, but he patiently loved me. He patiently put people around me to pour his word into my life. So anyone out there that is seeing anyone fall back, take a step forward and two steps back, keep on praying and keep on seeking God's face, because God can save, God can deliver, God can heal, God can build up anybody. There's no greater authority than the authority that we find in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Believe that. Don't kick your son out. Get out. I'm tired. Don't kick your daughter out. Just go lay hands on their pillow. and go, I take authority over every dream. I take authority over this resting place right now. Devil, you will be uncomfortable in this house because we're taking authority and we're taking back this house. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That is not a, you know, we grew up, you know, some of us watched Sanford and Son growing up and, you know, and you big dummy, you, we don't even talk like that no more. You man of God, you, I mean, that's just more convicting than anything. Because when you do dumb stuff and you're called a dummy, you say, well, I'm a dummy. But when they go, I can't believe, my mom, she was so good at it. I can't believe it. What? I just can't believe you did it. Why? A man of God doesn't act like that. Oh, man. She stopped. You know, I grew up with the belt. You know, I grew up with the switch. Go out there and get the switch. That was just, that's abuse. I hope Jesus met her at the gates. And she lost a ruby or something in her crown for that kind of abuse. I mean, but literally she would just literally stop after a certain time with the switch and the belt. And she was like, Tim, get your word. No, please get the belt. Please, just whoop me. Just whoop me and send me to my room on punishment. No, let's look at the scripture together because I want to show you why you shouldn't be acting like that. And those things chewed on me all night and chewed on me all day. And you know what? It taught me how not to be a good person for man, but to be a good person according to God's standards. Because his eyes are in all places beholding the evil and the good. And I never wanted to disappoint him as I learned how much he loved me. Today we're going to be talking about living in the new birth. Not existing in a new birth, but literally living in the new birth. There's a difference. There's a difference because when you live, you've taken what you've learned and you've applied it to your life. It's one thing to know it. My mom used to tell my sister, she said, you're so smart. You can determine when it's going to rain, but you don't have enough sense to come out of the rain. She said, don't be so smart where you can know a thing but never apply it. The Bible says to study the Word of God, to study the Word of God. Once you know what God has for you, once you know that all things that pertain to life and godliness has been given to you by Christ Jesus, once you know the depths of his love and the heights of his love and the width of his love and the totality of his love, then you'll know that, hallelujah, he is my shepherd. I don't have to want for nothing. It's when we don't know that the enemy attacks us and begins to deceive us and make us believe a thing that's not true. But if I know the Word of God, if I know that I'm the head and not the tail, if I know that I'm blessed going in and coming out, if I know that his goodness and his mercy follows me all the days of my life, if I know those things, if I know that he'll do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or even imagine, then I won't stop asking. If I know that I'm an heir of God, how many know that you're an heir of God? Ooh, you may not feel like it. Sometimes you look in the mirror and you don't even look like it. You're like, man, I don't know what that is I'm looking at right now. That's, woo, woo. When the scripture talks about amazing grace or the song Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, I see it, man. God, I look at the miracle of my life and where God turned me around, took desires out of my heart, changed my way of thinking, because I used to have thoughts. I had stuff that had happened to me as a kid, and I carried that stuff into my adult life, and I felt like I had the right to be angry. And then God taught me through his word, through his son Christ Jesus, no, you have the right to be free. You don't have that right to be bound anymore because of, and I want you, if you don't take anything away from this, take this away. Because of the finished work, somebody say the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, I want you to really, before we dive into Ephesians 2, I really want you to see this, what that means. When he said it is finished, that means everything that he came to do was accomplished. He literally became our shame, our sin, everything that we've ever done. And you got to look at the cross differently. Stop looking at the cross as just this place of suffering. Yes, he suffered and died. He, the Bible said, became obedient unto death. He became our shame that we might become the righteousness of God. Man, receive that, man. Woo! He became everything that I ever did, even though he never did it. He became everything that I ever did, hallelujah, that I might become the righteousness of God. And look, I don't have to try to be righteous. The King, God, declared me righteous. Why? Because he wanted to have fellowship with me. So he declared me holy. He declared me righteous to bring me unto himself. He didn't wait for me to get right because I didn't have the ability to get right. He declared me right, brought me unto himself. And when I was brought to him, he began to show me his way. Boy, that was difficult. I was blessed to, I'll just use this phrase, to be gifted to play football. And I went on and had a career in high school and in college, and I decided ministry over continuing in football. And one thing I learned in football, there were things that were designed that benefited the team, that benefited the scoring, that the coaches and those that designed the play wanted us to accomplish. But a lot of times, athletes that are gifted, we veer from the design. So there was this one play that the coach would always call, and it was my number. He would say, screen pass. And I was a running back, so I would get the screen. And the play was designed to stay to the outside. But every time I got the pass, I saw the inside open up. And man, I begin to run to the inside. And anybody that's has been an athlete or anything, you know, there's drama in athletics. And so I would get hit and I would bounce off. Then I would get hit again and I would bounce off. And I had the ability to keep my balance. I put the hand on the ground and I would get 10 to 12 yards. And then I would throw the ball down. I would jump up like, yeah, first down. The coach would go, come here, come here, come here, come here. I run over thinking the coach is going to pat me on my head. He would go, can you run the play the way it was designed? I go, this guy's crazy. I just got a first down, and he's over here scolding me because I didn't run the play the way he wants me to run the play. So I would get the, all year long, he's calling this play. I want to literally say all year long, he's calling this play. I would start to the outside and cut back to the inside, and I would run, and I would get hit, and it would look good. Everybody in the audience would be like, yeah, ooh, 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 and I would get hit, and I would spin, and sometimes I would get 20 yards, sometimes I would get 15, but I never scored. It looked good. I may have some marks on my helmet that made it look like I was in battle. My jersey might get ripped, and I would look like a gladiator, and I would just look good. But all year long, I would frustrate the coach because I never ran the play correctly. It was designed to stay to the outside. Finally, we came to a game right before the championship, we win this, we're going to the championship, and it was muggy, it was rainy that day, and the ground was a little muddy, and you know anybody that's played in that, you know, you start getting cramps because you're working hard, running in this kind of grass, and I was like, man, I said, hope they don't call that screen pass, I don't feel like getting hit. He said, screen pass, Tim, calling your number, we need this. And I made up in my mind because I was weak and because I was feeling like I was going to fall apart, like my right leg was just going to fall off. The cramps were just killing me. I said, man, when I get this, I'm going to stay to the outside because if I see somebody coming at me, I'm just going to step out of bounds. I don't care if I gain 2 yards. I'm stepping out of bounds because I don't want to get hit. So I got the pass, and I stayed to the outside, and I'm hardly running because I'm cramping up. I'm hardly running. And lo, to my surprise, the way the play was designed is that the linemen would hit people. Oh, wow, this is amazing. The tight end was hitting. Oh, man, wow. The wide receiver was blocking downfield, and I'm not even running. I'm literally jogging, and I get to the end zone. I put the ball down, and I'm like, wow, I didn't run. It was not me. I didn't get hit. I didn't bounce off nobody, but I scored, and the coach is on the sidelines going, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. I'm like, something's really wrong with this guy because he's calling me over and I just scored. He looks me in the face and he goes, you finally ran it right. And I go, yeah, coach, yeah. He says, do you know how many touchdowns you left on the field this year? All because you went off of your own ability rather than the design. You existed all year, but today you decided to live. And God will allow us to get to our weakest state, our weakest point, where our intelligence can't get us out of it, our gifting can't get us out of it, our abilities can't get us out of it, where we trust his design because he says, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. Listen, plans to prosper you. Well, God, why am I not prospering? You're in the way. Your know-how, and I'm so glad my mom just beat this into me. Timmy, your opinion is not truth. You have an opinion, but it's not truth. It sounds good, and sometimes it will work, but there is a truth that supersedes your truth, and until you live in that truth, you'll never live. You'll just be existing. We want to talk about that today, living. Go to Ephesians 2 real quick. I'm going to try to wrap this up in the next 1.5 hours so that we can... Ephesians 2. What it says here. And you and I, and I'm reading from the Amplified, it may be a little different here, but follow along here. And you and I, he made alive. We've been made alive. How? We've been made alive when we were once dead or slain in our trespasses and sin. We have been made alive. I don't care what the enemy is saying to you. I don't care what people have said to you. You're nothing. Oh, look at you. You think you don't know. You've been made alive. You are a child of God. The cross represents past sins have been forgiven. Present circumstances have been forgiven. And struggles have been forgiven. And he says, I've even reached into your future and forgiven you for things that you haven't even done yet. Woo, come on, give him a praise for that one. I need that one. He didn't just deliver me from my past. He delivers me right now in my present. I can look up and I say, thank you, God, for your mercies that are new every morning. And I thank you for already being there. You already know what I'm going to do tomorrow. You already know the stuff I'm going to deal with on the freeway when that person tries to cut me off. Ooh, thank you, Lord, for removing the bumper stickers off my car to say honk for Jesus, because I don't always represent you well. But thank you for going into my future and saving me once again. Your mercy is new every morning. He says, we were dead or slain in our trespasses and sin. Look at this. In which at one time you and I walked habitually. We just couldn't help it. We lied and we didn't even try to lie. We just lied. We lusted and we didn't even try to lust. We just lusted. We hated. We didn't even try to hate. We just hated. We did things that were against our spiritual well-being, our marriage, our parenthood, our work, our careers. We just did them because we didn't know no better, because habitually we were sinners. But here comes Jesus. Ooh, man, Jesus showed up and just changed everything, didn't he? He just wrecked us. Man, now we loving our enemies? Oh, my God. We're praying for those who despitefully use us. Let's pray for John. I don't want to pray for John. Let's pray for him anyway, because that's what the Word of God says. Okay, I'm praying for John. Well, you know how we used to be. You do me, I'm going to do you.
I'm going to get you before you get me. Now I'm praying for you, knowing you're trying to get me. God save John. God save John. What? Because he changes us from the inside out. As a matter of fact, he says this in Romans. He says, you're no longer going to be conformed to this world, but you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is good and perfect and the acceptable will of the Father. So as he changes me, and it literally means this in the Greek, I'm flowing in a different direction. Man, I used to flow in this direction. I flowed in my biases, my hate, my anger, my resentment, my abandonment, all the things, my rejection, the broken family. I was flowing in that, and then God changed me. And he made all things new. So what he says, he says, you were at one time walking habitually in sin. You were following the course and fashion of this world. You were under the sway, I like this, or the tendency of this present age. David said it best. David said, look, he says, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And this is what I love this part. He says, to behold the beauty of the Lord. You know what that means? He says, I want to behold it so I can become it. I want to behold it. So I realize that, especially throughout the last couple years, we've been becoming what we've been beholding. We've been watching the news and we've been becoming what the news is telling us. We've been watching what's going on all around us and we've been coming. We have become frustrated, angry, irritated, all because we become what we behold. And the scripture says, look to the hills from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord. Why? Because he's saying, I want you to behold me, because if you can behold me and keep your eyes on me, I am your Jireh. I'm your provider. I am your shield. I am your buckler. I am your way maker. I am your miracle worker. I am the one that opens doors that no man can shut. The gas, Pastor Tim, what are we going to do with the gas? This is horrible. I said, you know what I do? What do you do, Pastor Tim? Tell me. I asked my God for more of my allowance. My son said this. He says, Dad, I want to go hang out with my friends. He's at this age, he's 15, going to be a sophomore, and he doesn't want to hang out with Dad no more. He wants to hang out with his friends. I said, can I go to the movies with you guys? Dad. Come on, I'll sit way in the back. I want to watch Spider-Man. Dad, don't ever do that around my friends. When you were 7, that was cool. You would do it with me. Yeah, Dad. Now it's like, Dad, what are you doing? Stop. I said, oh, man. I said, okay, here, son. I want you to see this, a father. I said, here, son, here's my debit card. Here's one of my debit cards. What do we do with this, Dad? I said, while you're out, if you need anything, let me know, and I'll make sure something's on it. This is your main account? No, it's not my main account, son. It's not my son. Come on now. I ain't crazy. I know I just did Spider-Man. I look crazy, but I ain't crazy. No. I want to put something on it, whatever you need. So he goes, okay, Dad. So he goes out. He says, Dad, can you put 20 on there? I want to go out to eat. Then he calls me back. Says, Dad, you know, I want to treat all my friends. Can you put another 20? We're just eating. Yeah, put another 20. He says, Dad, I want to give the waitress a tip. All right, son, stop it. But yeah, I'm going to put some more money on it. He comes back that night, and he's getting ready to hand me the card. Thanks, Dad. That was cool. I said, keep it. He goes, what? Are you serious? I said, yeah, keep it. So that when you go out, you already have a tool that I can transfer something to. He says, all right. I don't know if I'm ever getting that card back. But I looked at that, and I said, that's what God wants to do to you and I. He wants to love on us as our father. He's our father. But we're so just like my son. Like, really? Are you serious? He died. Listen, he sent his only begotten son that he might die, that we might have a life, and that much more abundantly. Stop acting like a foreigner to the kingdom and be an heir of God and a joint heir in Christ Jesus. Amen? All right, let me finish this up. Look at this. He says this. He says, we were under the sway of the tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. We were obedient to and under the control of the spirit of the enemy that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the unbelieving, the careless, and those that go against the purpose of God. We were once that. But when we gave our life to the Lord, guess what now resides in us? The same power. Man, this is going, man, when I saw this, I just got happy. I started jumping around. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and I. Well, I heard him say this. He said, anything dead in me is going to come alive. Why? Because the same power, the same authority that raised Jesus from the dead is living on the inside of me. So anything dead in me, God says, I want to raise it up. I want to bring it to life so that you walk in life and no longer dead. You walk in my design and not your design. You walk in my purpose and not your purpose. You walk in my truth that supersedes your truth, because your truth told you to handle stuff a certain way. But here comes the truth of God that reminds you of who you are. You are who God says you are. You're not who life told you you are. I know it seems like that at times, but you are who God says you are. And if you have not yet entered into this family and allowing Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, here's the benefit. He says this: I came to destroy the works of the devil. Every plan of the enemy for your life that was to kill you and destroy you and rob from you and have you living in generational curses, here comes Jesus to say, I came to destroy those works. I came to help you be the man, the woman that God called you to be. You have a purpose over your life. So live in that truth and no longer in your truth or the family. Boy, in my family, we do it this way. No, I'm going to do it according to God, and I'm going to change the circumstances of what God has for me and my household. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. We're going to walk in a truth, hallelujah, that does make us the head and not the tail. And we're going to stand there knowing that his goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life. His rod and his staff comforts us. We're going to know that he's anointing our head with oil so that our cup can overflow. Hallelujah. We're going to know that he is our light and our salvation. He is the strength of our life. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to fear. Why? Because God is for us. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Amen. If God is for you, who can be against you? So go home. Hallelujah. Kick the door in. Boom. There's a new sheriff in town. Throw it back like Clint Eastwood used to do back in the day. You know, I wish I could whistle like that. You know, to the devil, you've been, somebody got it. To the devil, you've been causing nightmares in this house. You've been causing arguments and disagreements in this house. You've been causing disdain in this house. You've been causing trouble on my job, to making me feel like I need to quit and go get another job. You've been messing with our finances. You've been doing this, but guess what? Jesus died that we might have life. And we're no longer walking according to the trespasses and the habitual sin. We're no longer going to fall to that frustration. We're going to stand in the new life and in the new birth. And when you get a chance, keep reading down the second chapter and begin to really see who you are. I am a child of God, and I'm going to live according to his design. In Jesus' name. Can we stand to our feet for just a moment? Hallelujah, as we prepare, amen, a little guitar, and amen, Cassie's getting ready to come up in just a second, and we're going to, amen, just pray a blessing over you and then allow, amen, them to close out. I want to say this. As you close your eyes for a moment, I want you to just begin to imagine yourself on that same field that I was on, and are you running it according to the design of God, or are you running it according to your own design? Are you getting hit when you shouldn't get hit? Are you getting beat even though you're still standing? Are you going through some things that you don't have to go through? Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Is your marriage taking blows that it doesn't need to take? Is the relationship with your son or your daughter, is it taking blows that it doesn't have to take? Is your career taking blows that it doesn't have to take? Is life taking blows that it doesn't have to take? That's you, if that's you, that's you. With your eyes closed, everyone's eyes closed, just raise your hand real quick. Just raise your hand. That's, amen. Just raise your hand. That's me. I see that hand. I see that. I see. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cassie's going to come. We're just going to pray, hallelujah, for you that raise your hands and those that need salvation. We want to pray, and the format of this church is to continue to pray with you. Amen, in the back. But what I want you to do is know that you're leaving here because you confessed it. And now you're going to walk in the newness of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he died that you might be the righteousness of God. Today's a new day. Today's a new day.
I'm just going to pray over our church. If you would just agree with me and receive this. Father, Father, we receive that life. God, we praise you. We thank you for what you did on the cross, Lord, that you love us, that you want to pour your love out on us. You want us to receive that, God. We want to step into that, no longer existing, but living in new birth. Lord, show us what that is like. God, lead us every step. As Angela was saying in communion, Lord, we don't have to live with those anxieties, those fear, God. Help us to lay them down at the foot of the cross and trust them to you who knows more, who knows all things, who works all things, who knows what is past, what is present, what is future. You already have played it out, God. Help us to just trust in that and have peace, find peace in that, God. We thank you, Jesus. If you want to pray with someone, if there's something that that you want that new life, you want to live that new life, and you want someone to agree with you, there'll be people in the back here to pray with you. We encourage you to do that. If you've accepted Christ and you want tools to know like how to walk that out and how to begin your walk, first we encourage you to share that with someone. Pray, and we have packets out in the foyer. They say yes packets just to help you to begin that journey with Christ and begin to walk in discipleship and not just exist, but to live out that new life. And before we go, I also want to pray a blessing over you. I don't have it, but I'm pretty sure I know it. And that's the blessing that Louis is closed us out with for some time now. So if you just posture yourself to receive that, I just pray in the name of Jesus, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. There's something else too. We don't have it up there. I don't have it in front of me. I'm sorry. But yes. All right. Anyway, I don't know if Chris is going to continue playing or singing or whatever. If you want to spend time in prayer, we got people at the back. Otherwise, have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's web@hillside4.org.